Wow, lock me up, I'm crazy!
Eminem, he's the worst rapper in the world!
I've never seen this before in my entire, all my 8 years.
Oh my God, we made something that's viral this week.
He's got a truck full of M&M's.
Talking about him too much, really. Naturally.
You have beautiful eyes.
Oh, man, the part Cherokee Indian in the cupboard.
Gabe, say something gay.
Something gay?
You know, fun.
You are gay.
Fatality.
You're just going to pepper
gonna
him in?
Carry the whole episode.
I'm going to laugh at it. Hey, I just found out this thing. I just found out a random fact. Check this out. Gabe's gay.
The more you know.
What?
You get all the classics on there.
Yeah.
How many you got?
A few.
We'll find out as we go.
Yeah, don't blow your load.
You're right. Well, I can start right here. I can just say the fact that Cinemapocalypse Now, the show where we talk about movies with your host, Scott Lizard Abrams.
I'd be surprised if you didn't have that on there.
I just announced myself. Gabe, you want to introduce yourself?
Gabby
Faggot!
Gabby Good to his mother, Tashada.
And Big Daddy, Don Bodine. Give me something cool. Okay. There you go.
This is already annoying.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I went to a rap show with Bad Roommate was there.
Yeah.
And one of the
Who
was it? I think it was Yellow Wolf.
Yellow Teeth?
No. Yeah. This is his cousin, her cousin from Louisiana.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's that white. It's like a wigger rap. I'm so not surprised that Bad Roommate was at that.
Like Eminem found him or whatever, but like one of the opening acts, like they had a lot of them will have DJs, right?
Right.
To fucking spin their records or whatever. Oh, it's not even records anymore, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So they had the DJ
an iTunes playlist.
Playing the music. And he had drops, and that was the only drop he had was the play.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. Welcome to the space.
You have Space Jam ready to go?
You don't?
Yeah, I have that if you want it.
You know how to
just
party?
Entrance music?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but the DJ, like, literally, he had one drop, and it was that, and he abused the fuck out of it.
Well, if you want, it's a lot of power, but also at the same time, it's like you want... I already feel restricted with how few I have right now. Like, I have so much more I wish I had. Say,
I already feel like a professional DJ
at
this point.
Well, my friend that did it, he literally just told me...
Oh, hang on, let me put one earphone off my ear so I am a professional
You need
DJ.
To have Beats by Dre, though.
True, you're right.
The most important thing to being a DJ is that you just look busy.
True.
I could see that.
Especially now. He's like, you just want to always be like turning knobs and being like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then also like,
he's
a
big black dude, so he's like, he's legit.
As most big black dudes are.
I don't really
DJ
associate
Power Surge,
large black men with being DJs. It's usually spindly black men in my experience.
Or spindly white men.
Well, yeah, nowadays.
Yeah.
DJ Torso.
DJ Hero.
What's DJ? Oh, the game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Guitar Hero.
I remember that.
Did you ever play that one?
No. Yeah. It looked gay.
But on the topic of Eminem, I want to bring up this story. My sister in elementary school, she was like maybe like fourth or fifth grade, so she was one of the older kids. Some little kid like either like first or second grade, little black kid came up to her and said, "Hey, do you listen to any rap?" And she's like, I don't know, Eminem's okay. And he goes, "Eminem, he's the worst rapper in the world."
What black kid was this?
I don't know, but I want to meet him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's graduated from the Stoughton school systems now and is
making his way through his second tour in prison.
He's in second grade now.
Oh, right.
Actually.
Ah, shit.
Fucking apparently sounds like Gary Coleman, too.
Well, that's my sister's approximation of a young black kid.
She probably, that's how she hears all black people.
Yeah, it's been a little bastardized.
It's really working well in her career as a teacher.
I mean, that's what all our students sound like, too.
Yeah.
Coincidentally.
Yo, Mr. Lodge, let me get some ham mayonnaise.
Ham mayonnaise?
That's what they have. It's like the shit that they like where they like put in their weaves overnight.
Ham mayonnaise?
No, hair mayonnaise.
Oh. Ew.
Yeah.
Ham mayonnaise doesn't sound that bad now.
Yeah, ham mayonnaise. That also sounds bad.
Doesn't sound good.
It's a ham flavored mayo.
Oh. I was just picturing ham sandwich with mayonnaise.
No, even worse, it's just like you spread it on and it's like a pink mayo that like you can just have betwixt two pieces of white bread.
Have you seen all those fucking Heinz like new mayo chup and shit as if you're fucking not
too stupid to mix
ketchup and mayo? You're just too lazy to mix ketchup and mayo fucking...
Dude, if they would have had that at the cafeteria to school, they would have went to town on that.
Maybe
people dipping their fucking pizza in it all the time. That's
I remember people fucking dipping their pizza in yellow mustard.
I didn't see anybody do that.
Who can I say? James Cocklick, really huge cock please lover. I should also refer to him as. He used to dip his pizza crust in fucking yellow mustard.
That's filth. That's
disgusting. It's foul.
Well, as is he. So.
At least you could make the argument that ketchup would be like the approximation of sauce. Where it's like, where are you going with the mustard?
I mean, good question.
We may never know.
Straight to hell, apparently.
Yeah. Anything happen to you this week, Gabe? Or has it just been...
coronavirus, that's it.
That's what everybody's talking about, isn't it?
It's, and I hate to beat a dead horse, but it's literally the only thing that's going on and the only thing that's affecting everybody.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything to really add to it besides the fact that it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
It's annoying and it's fake.
Was no traffic to get here, though.
Yeah. I'm thinking about driving to Boston tomorrow.
You should.
To go to work.
I don't know why you haven't been. The fucking subway's probably infested.
Well, I also paid for the month.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this was happening when I paid for the month.
Yeah, we were talking about this in the car. Don was, we were like, it started out like swine flu where everybody was just freaking out, but now it's starting to be a thing.
I was like conscious and aware of what was going on when that happened. I just don't have any memory of it, the swine flu.
Right. Just people fucking getting up in arms for no reason, basically.
It's like going on now.
I don't know.
This is definitely to a greater effect.
Yeah, no shit. But no, I don't really see the subway as being that like foul or fucking. I mean, so few. Well, no, normal. The same amount that it always is.
No more
so
now.
No more so than it. Yeah, there's less people on, like by a shocking amount. it's like, you know, they say stay 6 feet away. You have more than 6 feet away from other people. It's so unpopulated now. And then, yes, there are ones where, like, bums are just sleeping on it, but just go to a different car because it's so, like, not packed. I kind of like commuting now. I've been driving to Braintree by myself. Yeah, that's pretty fucking sick. Like, I haven't had, like, my own car or, like, my own, like, driving to work schedule by myself for, like, years. And now my wife's working at home and it's like I get to go out. I'm like, I feel like a real I feel like I got my dick back.
You're a big boy.
Yeah.
It's making the bacon. Bringing home the bread.
I'd smoke fucking cigarillos in the car and fucking bring weed to work.
You're a real neighborino.
Yeah.
Is everybody still there?
No, it's just me now.
What?
It's just me now and my boss.
Oh.
So no more Mike, no more...
Yeah, they're all fucking gonzo.
of their own volition, or somewhat, they were told
to? Yeah, somewhat, yes. Fucking, well, Stompy von Schekelberg, he, he's an idiot, I guess, because he fucking told my boss, like, he was like, hey, dude, I got the flu, but it's no big deal, I'll come in, and my boss is, like, having a full-blown, like, he's in full-blown fucking, germaphobe mode.
Of course.
Yeah, he's going, he loves this.
Even if he does just have the flu, he's like, no, fucking stay home.
Yeah. And so my boss was just like, yeah, don't even think about coming in. Fuck, go apply for fucking unemployment.
Yeah.
And
as if he needed a reason to get rid of that fag.
Mike is like, Mike's freaking out too, but he's always been kind of that way. But yeah, he's like, I don't want, he said something fucking pretty funny. He's like, if I had an inkling that I resulted in my parents dying, I would never forgive myself. And I'm like, you really think it'll come to that by coming to work? Like last week, your parents are doomed.
I mean, if they have pre-existing conditions, no, they're just a possibility.
Old. That's all it is. It's just, he's just worried because they're old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only really worried about my dad, to be honest.
Mike's dad, really, his only condition that I know about is his obsession with turning on the Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen his parents.
Really?
I've never seen his mom. I've heard his mom's voice. I've seen his dad.
Yeah, I've seen both of them now. No, but
I've never even seen the upstairs of his house.
Well, I haven't either.
I haven't even seen the upstairs of his house.
It doesn't exist.
Oh, I went into his kitchen one time. But yeah, no, I just love, I love when fucking Mike and his dad like get into a fight.
Oh, usually over turning on the Christmas.
Yeah.
So weird, Dad.
Come on, dude, you're so weird. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so I guess Mike's pretty happy that he doesn't have to get the road rage that he usually
doesn't
does.
Have to schlep his way there.
I guess, yeah, so.
We're working on a real skeleton crew now. I'm thinking that no one's going to come in after this whole, like, governor business.
Yeah.
We're outlaws right now recording this podcast for you guys.
Yeah, technically. Rebels.
The state was supposed to basically be shut down as of noon today.
Mm.
We're here pre-ban, well, post-ban of everything, apparently.
I would consider this an essential business.
Yes. It's essential to my survival.
Yeah.
This is an essential business. I mean, if things get more seriously, like we've discussed, we might have to do a Skype episode.
Yeah.
But as the number one podcast of the apocalypse, we'll be sure to keep you guys all in tune during the apocalypse.
Yeah.
As long as the internet's up.
We'll be here.
Damn right.
Well said.
I gotta consult with my boss because they technically closed our building to anyone but business owners. And so he was just like, yeah, dude, just go in and tell them you own the unit downstairs, or like we're business partners or something.
Oh, wait, when you say just you mean not even your boss is there?
No, he's there. He's
okay.
There.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought initially.
But we're going to have to pull a fast one on the security guards, who are new and all black, so we're not going to be tough.
Done and done.
Actually, it's pretty funny. We used to have this this crew of old guys. A couple of them were old black dudes, and like a couple of them were old white guys, and we had these guys as like, I'm pretty sure a couple of them were like ex-cops. So, like, they had business being security guards. And then all of a sudden, apparently, the fucking, the main old man, like, just croaked. And then the building decided to start using, like, this company that has, like, 23-year-old Hispanic girls.
Well, I mean.
I feel really safe in the building now, though, because
oh
I know
God.
That.
What you doing in this building?
Hey, Poppy, what you doing? You crazy. Horrible.
You're so crazy.
They're just sitting there painting their nails the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I'm not even joking.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
They need
go
to get up. Special belts to fit around their
How
butts.
How do I go up?
Funniest thing Blee's ever said in sixth grade. He peaked.
I'll say. It's a good way to go out, though.
That's true. But anyway, yeah. So I don't know if I don't know. I gotta talk to him, see how it was today, how tight security is gonna be, and if so, I'm gonna drive because they suspended all tickets for parking, so I can just park anywhere now.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Why aren't you driving?
I know. Man? I want to drive through the fucking city, which is gonna be deserted, and it's gonna be fucking sick.
That sounds kind of fun.
I know. It'll be like fucking Ferris Bueller.
Take a video. I'd like to see what it looks like without like.
I could have done that all along. It's fucking crazy. I told you, it's like fucking Mordor.
Yeah.
There's no one around, except the bums, and they fucking come up to you now. And I've told three bums to fuck off.
Well, all you got to
pussies though.
It's pretty easy. All you got to do is start coughing as soon as they come over.
Yeah.
Maybe. You got to use this to your advantage.
They don't care. They already have it.
I mean, I feel like the ones that are going to die are probably already died on the streets,
yeah, a
right?
lot of these are just, like, the junky ones. Although, those are the ones who'll fucking argue with you, I suppose.
The junky ones, those are the resilient ones.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
I imagine a lot of them do have homes, though. And they're just out there, like, getting fucking dope cash.
You don't think you said the panhandlers, for the most part, have gone home.
I mean, it's just less of them because there's no one to fucking get money off of. And I don't really put myself out there as like a guy who is approachable.
I mean, I wouldn't think you had money.
Well, not even just that, but like I have a fucking scowl, perpetual scowl. Yeah, I dress like shit, of course. I don't look
like
I have
money.
It's
not like he has like, he's like not a fucking suit in a
I'm not like a yuppie talking on a Bluetooth.
You always
will be smoking.
To me.
They see him smoking his cigarillos, and they're like, I'm not asking
He's
that
one of
guy.
Us. He's one of us,
He's smoking
dude.
Al Capone's.
No, I'm talking about fucking blacks.
Still. They smell it, they're like, what is that, wine flavored?
No, there's a new one that I've been smoking, actually. It's like citrus flavored. It's pretty dope.
I thought flavored cigarettes were like banned now.
These are cigars.
Oh, gray area.
Yeah.
Ah, the nice place where Massachusetts is.
Yeah, these
are
cigars. But yeah, it's very fucking weird. I'm starting to miss some of my like my creature comforts in the city. Those like good sandwich places that are just gone to me now.
Mm. Well, aren't they still doing takeout, or Boston's pretty much completely closed?
I mean, there's
closed.
So little foot traffic. They rely on commuters coming for lunch, so there's probably a lot of them are closing.
Yeah. We were driving on the way here going, seeing all the places that are open, and we're like, essential? Essential.
Yes. Domino's, yeah. Essential.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are fucking ordering Za, though.
I mean, it would be a really bad idea for them to close down now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I got some on Saturday night because I was like cooked a fucking pork shoulder. By the way, I mentioned before, I have like 300 pounds of fucking meat in the house, so I don't even.
So if you guys are in the area and you're looking to ransack a
freezer.
No,
you'll get murked, dude. Also, none of you know how to cook any of this shit. So yeah. It's way above your head.
They'd break in and
also,
they'd go to
they
steal
don't know
it, and
live,
then they'd be like, oh, we don't know how to cook this. Like, what are we going to do with it? All this meat.
Yeah, I am quickly eating through it, literally, now, though. But yeah, I spent like 12 hours cooking pork shoulders, so I have like fucking like tons of portioned out meals of different meats.
Rations.
You gotta keep yourself in shape, though. The apocalypse is nigh.
Yeah, well, I've been eating just like lean meats and fucking.
You gotta start doing push-ups and pull-ups and all that.
Well,
jazz.
I'm still PT. Fucking hoofing a lot. I took a 2-mile walk today. Just because I had to get out of the fucking house.
Mm. Still allowed to leave the house. Not yet completely communist, but very close to.
Yeah, Trump Daddy though is fucking trying to fucking get us back out in the workforce soon. He said by Easter he wants us back out there.
Did you also hear? Did you hear the clip? I don't know if you saw this, Don. I know you probably did. Where they were like, "Well, you keep on calling it the China virus."
Oh yeah, he's like, "Cause it's from China."
it's from China.
I'm not gonna disagree. But...
it's a Wuhan flu.
Yeah, it kind of is though.
Hong Kong flu-y.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, like, stockpiling goods, I remember this one time. This is, like, a fucking throwback. And, like, I don't know what grade I was in, but, like, it was, like, the homework assignment, probably in middle school, homework assignment to bring in, like, 5 canned goods for, like, a can drive. And my mom was just, like, too much of a drunk piece of, like lazy piece of shit to, like, make sure that we had it. She was like, oh, yeah, we have some. And then, like, the next morning where I'm, like, before school, she's like, I'm like, Mom, where are the fucking, like, the canned goods? She's like, here, take this. And hands me, like 3 or 4 year old expired canned goods that were just sitting in our fucking cabinets.
That's what my mom fucking did for those.
Did
things.
She I do that too? Okay, yeah, that's just a fucking.
I remember going with it, like, fucking a can of, like, corned beef hash. And I remember it was, I remember looking at it knowing it was old because it had, like, the 1970s, like,
Fond.
Shaw's, yeah. like, brand, where it was, like, yeah. do you remember the original Shaw's brand? Like, their brand, it was black, uh-huh. and then it had, like, a colored stripe.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And then
about,
it would just,
yeah.
like, say, like, Shaw's fucking whatever it is.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
That's because it's really fucking old. I'm exaggerating saying it's like, 70s, but it's, like, early 90s. But I, like, remember still having shit like that in the cabinet, my mom being like, oh, can drive, now we can clean out the cabinets.
Yeah, I know, that's so fucking scumbag. Imagine, like, it's like distributed first come first serve, so like this one family just gets all expired Scott and Gabe's mom food.
Oh, this must be the brand new Shaw's logo.
I've never seen this before in my entire all my 8 years.
Now the needy
boy am I hungry.
Now the needy Thanks, people mister. Now the needy people are fucking eating expired canned goods, which is like probably worse than regular expired.
I don't know because they put so much fucking preservatives in that shit. It's probably kosher.
Well, some of it's like Best Buy date, so it's like, oh, it tastes like shit, but you can eat it.
Sure. Well, dude, that fucking 1989 Steve MRE info, fucking that dude fucking awesome. But he eats. I literally saw him eat something from before World War One the other day.
Yeah, it was like, was it the cracker?
Yeah,
it was like a tack hard tack cracker. And it was, like, from, like, 1896 or some shit.
Yeah, or something like that.
Fucking
yeah.
nuts.
That guy needs to die.
I showed him to Charity the other day because I was like, hey, have you ever heard of a Steve MRE? And she's like, and she's like, no. And I was like,
well, come on. That's a pretty deep autistic pull for her to have heard of.
Well, of course not. And I was like, hold on, let me put this out on a tray. Okay, yeah. Nice.
I was going to say, I should get a fucking drop of him saying, okay, let's get this out into a tray.
You should say, you can get a drop of him going, nice.
Nice. Actually, I will.
I was watching one the other day, and he was like, when I was showing her, and he was like, oh, it smells horrible. I'm not going to eat that. All right, maybe just a bite.
Yeah, he really does that. And then I remember one time he's like, well, I've actually been out of commission for a while because I had a Chinese ration that was actually, you know, in the dates that it was supposed to be, but I guess it was tainted. Oh, well.
You know why is because...
Chinese ration.
Yeah, but YouTube will demonetize you if you actually talk about the coronavirus.
What?
So no everybody's way. Everybody's been being pretty vague about it.
No, I'm talking about, like, 2 years ago this happened.
Oh, okay. I thought he was saying, like, in reference. He's like, well, no, I had, it's this, just I had
shitty,
this video.
It's just a shitty, shittily made, probably has rat heads in it. Like, that's what they're feeding the Chinese soldiers.
It's the bat soup that caused this whole thing.
It's actually bat rations.
I thought he was, like, making a joke saying, like, oh, I was going to do this Chinese MRE, but...
No, he did it.
I heard
this is
tainted.
The thing that was so fucked up, is he buys 2 every time, and he tries one independent of the video, and he got sick from it, and he's like, all right, let's try this other one.
I hate him so
Chances
much.
Are.
No, he was fine, I guess.
No, Don? Don's not having it today.
You guys, it's been well documented, my opinions on this fella. He needs to go down.
You know there's a copycat guy that's
the,
like...
Yeah, the Nathan's MRE? Fuck that guy. Yeah,
there's
that
a
guy sucks. He even says, let's get it out into a tray. This fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Is he making fun of him? That's the only reason I could ever see anyone
emulating
no, this
he's,
guy.
He,
he's
in fact,
so
he's,
fucking
he,
sad.
Fuck Nathan's MRE. If he wants to come at me, fuck him. He ripped off my boy 1989 Steve MRE Info's fucking bit. And yeah, he's like a like a shyster. He's like, hey, so check out my fucking my knife that I'm using. Isn't it badass? Use my Amazon fucking link here, and like I can get a few cents on the dollar if you buy it because I'm gay.
He basically moved in on Coke, and he's like, oh well, there's Coke, so there could be a Pepsi. That's basically what he did. He just
I don't think that's a fair comparison.
He tries
Gabe.
To like make Obviously jokes. Not, he but tries I'm to make he tries to like be like witty, whereas Steve. 1989 Steve MRE info.
So he's trying to one up.
Kind of, MRE. Yeah. He puts out a lot more videos. Because whereas in the original, the OG Steve 1989 MRE info, he puts out like hour and a half long, like full, like. I'll sit there and watch him too. And like him investigating like this, like all this like really expensive rare shit. This dude just pops out a fucking video every 3 days of like some rando fucking MRE that sucks from a year ago.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say that coronavirus is not the death of this country. It's Steve MRE.
Hey.
Oh my fucking god! How do you watch that? I watch like I hear one sentence out of his mouth. I'm like, turn this off. This is fucking unbearable.
I'm interested in that kind of shit.
You need to see the copycat guy.
Why? Oh, wait, I'll appreciate him by proxy then.
I don't agree with Gabe's assessment in that, but
I'm saying that you would be like, all right, I can see that Steve MRE is like has something, and this guy does not.
It's unwatchable, in my opinion.
No. I you're just not interested in the subject matter, and I am.
True, but
I don't. Yeah, it's I listen. There's a lot more grading people that I've put up with to watch content I wanted to see.
I like that couple who cooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
Oh my
grating.
God, we made little pizza.
Oh my god, we made something that's viral this week.
I'm vaguely attractive, so it gets clicks.
What's it called, though? What was I going to say? Let me show you. Also, dude, the fucking guy goes, oh, he's the most grating of all, but he goes to the fucking farthest out places. Like the most like unique places. So
oh, that,
it's like what
that white guy that does Chinese laugh.
Yeah, he's oh. also speaks. He's fluent in Chinese. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Oh, this guy sucks.
Oh, actually, wait, my fucking headphones fell off. Because
you were like, hey!
I was so animated by how much I hate him. No, I do know who you're talking about.
I hate that guy. Yet I still watch his fucking videos.
Yeah,
because
I've watched his videos because of you.
Hey, what can I say?
Steve MRE is like if Elliot Rodger just accepted his fate and started making videos.
Yes.
Like
that's kind of what I like about him.
That's kind of what I hate about it. Oh.
Charity's whole Instagram is like people that she follows that she fucking can't stand. She's like, oh, look at this bitch. I'm like, why do you follow them?
I don't have any of that. Except yeah, fucking a homeless filmmaker. I see his stuff. Dude, he's been posting pictures of that fucking, that fucking Lloydapalooza show.
Oh, yeah. He shared with us.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking back
also,
at it.
Also, he got stabbed by his girlfriend last night.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I should show you guys that. Yeah, he got stabbed by his girlfriend, and, like, he was, like, shit-faced, so he, like, almost bled out. And, like, yeah, dude, it's fucking wild. And he
That's
like...
That's a quarantine will do to you.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, as if those two haven't been fucking in quarantine for fucking years.
I know. Yeah, mental quarantine. Yeah, this was him last night. He got stabbed by his Jif, his morbidly obese Hispanic girlfriend.
Yet he had the presence of mind to post Instagram.
Well, because it's like, it's not staged because he did let himself be cut, but like, it's kind of like wrestling. He's like blading. So he can be like, look how schizo I am. I posted about me getting stabbed by my girlfriend on the internet. Wow, lock me up. I'm crazy. And then he posted, somebody sent him a DM saying, dude, definitely don't post pic like these. Some snitch is going to call the police on you. And he responds so edgy. Bro, I'm so ready to do 25 with an L. Al's gone. He's talking about that fucking fat guy who overdosed on heroin like 10, 11, 12 years ago at this point.
Pretty relevant.
And I'm pretty sure they weren't on speaking terms at the time either. Like, and he hated... sorry, homeless filmmaker. Yeah. So, it's fucked up. Yeah. Look at this one. This one's very...
What?
Look at his arm. He's fucking bleeding out, probably because he's been drinking Natty Lights all day. That's what he drinks.
It's so telling.
Yeah.
Gross. So that brought me down.
Well said. I got a couple things that'll brighten up the news, brighten up the mood. We get the another installment of the Jews News.
Oh, it's just gonna go in the background the whole time. Yeah. Okay. So yeah,
music bed. Anyway, there's been some very anti-Semitic news coverage related to the Italy coronavirus outbreak because they've been reporting that there's simply not enough time in the day to cremate all these bodies. That's very anti-Semitic. That's what I was trying to do.
Jesus Christ. This is a circus now.
I mean, it's the end of the world.
Hey, well, there's been nothing in the news. I got something, at least.
I honestly could barely hear what you were saying over the music.
So. Oh, man.
No, I heard.
Oh, okay.
You could adjust the levels later, too.
True. The only thing thing is his mic was picking it up so much, it's like...
You gotta be worried about, is it a bleed?
Yeah, the bleed was pretty bad.
We gotta figure out a better system for this, obviously. Yeah.
It's important.
Bummer. Yeah. Through trial and error, we'll get it.
Yeah. Bob Mullen for town moderator, Stoughton, Massachusetts.
Would you write him in?
Is there literally...
No, he's literally a guy named Bob Mullen who's fucking running.
Do we know anything about him? Like, what is his platform?
We can look it up.
I mean, I'm assuming he's running on the cocktails platform.
I'm like, Ken, you're crazy.
His running mate is Malibu Barbie.
Hi, this is Malibu Barbie. Oh, Bob Mullen. I wonder if the real Bob Mullen is still kicking.
I want to go venture no, but Stranger Things.
I want to say that he is, but he's in such a bad place that he now no longer has a telephone with which to call. Actually, that number is gone now, so he could never call us even if he wanted to. So we will never see that monkey again.
Oh, that's very sad.
Why don't you just ask Kenny?
Don't talk. We've talked to Bob Mullen fucking more recently than Kenny has.
The last time my dad actually spoke with him, like, he, like, said something, like, weird and untoward toward my sister over the phone. My dad got on the phone. He's like, don't ever fucking call here again. I'll fucking kill you, you piece of shit. And then he called back and he's like, Ken, I want you to know I'm very sorry that I did that. Like, the most, like, sober sounding, not that he was, but,
no,
like,
definitely. He
the most genuine.
He looked in the mirror and was like, you got this.
Gotta win Ken back.
He was like in love with him or to a, you know, certain degree. Like
a weird affinity.
Yeah.
When he wasn't trying to kill his own mother on Christmas. So.
Wait, what the fuck? Oh, yeah, Black Christmas.
And he had like a weird like Oedipal thing going on with his like
mother,
she like would tell him he was beautiful and he would like...
Oh, that sounds like somebody we know.
It really...
It's him!
It's pretty close, yeah, really.
Oh, shit, it's him!
For the audience that hasn't heard this story before, why don't you just explain quickly who Bob Mullen is?
I don't think we've ever actually outright said.
I think I cut part of it out in another episode.
Yeah, right,
you wanted its own episode.
Yeah.
I just figured since there's not much else to talk about, this would be a perfect time because he's running for fucking... This is so funny. This is how he's tracking you down. He sobered up, moved to Stoughton, and started a political campaign in order to win back Ken.
Oh, yeah. When Ken comes in to vote.
Honestly, I've heard worse plots for movies.
So, isn't that the plot of a Ray Romano movie?
Is that Welcome to Mooseport?
I've seen it, but I know that the guy who's in the fucking Goosebumps episode with Slappy is in that movie.
Oh, as you're right.
Like as the supporting whatever.
Damn. Imagine that's your resume. Well,
well, I was in
featured prominently in a Goosebumps episode, but
several.
Then, did you see the Ray Romano vehicle? Welcome to Mooseport. I had lines in it. So Bob Mullen is my dad's childhood friend.
Yeah.
Who was closeted gay, basically.
I guess, yeah, we don't know if he's alive, so this could be posthumous.
Because I said was, yeah. And basically was in love with my dad. And basically they had this relationship where, like, my dad, like, kind of hated him and would, like, just, like, beat the shit out of him, like, every so often. And then he would just, like, come back and my dad would just be, like, drunk, so he'd be, like, cool with it. And,
kind of like I didn't know how I've spent a how a long time I was with Bad Roommate.
Yeah, I was thinking that a little bit.
I had no idea about the gay angle with Bob Mullen.
One time he came over your parents' house wearing a fucking halter top.
Yeah, that's true.
Not knowing it was for women.
Another story was
halter top.
He kept, like, he was, like, staying at my mom and dad's apartment, and, like, he kept getting up in, like, the middle of the night and going and, like, drinking more alcohol just over and over again. And every time he passed by my parents' bedroom door, he'd go, "Cocktails!" And so they actually, like, kind of drifted apart, believe it or not. Actually, you know what the turning point was, actually?
What?
I was a baby, and Bob Mullen came over and, like, he would, like, fuck with my older brother all the time, actually, when he was a little kid, and, like, like, hit him and, like, pinch him and, like, hurt him all the time. And for some reason, my dad was, like, a dick and was just like, "No, that didn't happen." And, like, would just, like, basically, like, just deny what my brother was saying. But one time, like, I was, like, a newborn baby, basically. I was very, very young, couple months old, maybe. And he came over.
He pinched you?
No, he pulled my hair.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad, like, walked in and saw him pulling my hair. So he,
that's,
like,
fucking weird.
He, like, beat the shit out of him and, like, threw him down the stairs of the apartment building. So my dad did one nice thing for me.
Is this over in Stoughton?
No, this was in probably West Roxbury in that vicinity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so then there was a long while where they didn't talk, but then they both went to a funeral of mutual friend who was such a fucking alcoholic that he drank himself to death, like, in his, like, 30s or early 40s.
It's an impressive feat at that.
Really?
I know.
And they met up at his funeral, and my dad was kind of just in a weird place because his friend had died, so Bob Mullen asked for his number, the floodgates opened, and it was just constant phone calls to the house.
Drunk,
And the only people who would talk to him were me and my sister.
Yeah, and me, too.
Yeah, who was like, my sister was like 9, and she would just talk to Bob Mullen for hours on end.
Really, though?
And he would try to get my dad on the phone.
Which is just insane, because wouldn't you take a hint after a while? He's just not gonna.
I remember, like, sometimes my mom would get on the phone and be like, oh, like, because he knew my dad was a truck driver, so he assumed that he, like, drove, like, cross country, like, hey, he's on the road right now.
He's driving up to Alaska.
I think, actually, like, the time
he's
that my dad
gets road checker.
I think actually
he's got a truck full of M&Ms.
Head my way. I remember actually the time my dad got on the phone and yelled at him. I think he had been told that my dad was, like, away on the road, so he was, like, totally taken aback when my dad got on the phone.
And just,
so that's Bob Mullen.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know all those details. So.
Oh my god, there's so much more we aren't even saying. Like the time they went up to Canada and got arrested.
This is one of the best stories.
That's such
actually.
A good story. We used to be like, "Can you tell us about the time you went up to Canada with Bob Mullen?"
Yeah. That's like all my dad's good for is Bob Mullen stories.
I remember specifically one year, the year we bought Dance Dance Revolution and got all that free Burger King. Your dad's holding it in front of the Christmas tree, and Kenny was drunk and he goes, "Scott, what's your favorite color in the Christmas tree?"
Oh my god. He says that all the time. He still says that. And he doesn't drink. There's no excuse.
Your favorite color in the Christmas tree?
Of the lights. What color light? He's retarded. There's no other way to explain
it. That was a good Christmas.
So what color, though?
I don't know. Well, it's up to you, Gabe. Come over, like, this Christmas. You can pick.
You can, like, let him know. Red.
Blue or green.
Gabe thought about it. You know. Sometimes
I'm partial to the white ones.
I like those old lights. You don't see them anymore.
Oh, the ones like in A Christmas Story?
The big old ones?
Yeah, I like those too.
I recently had some of those, but they got lost in the great shit water.
I feel like people don't have them
because
they're super fire hazard.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I know.
Should we tell the French babe story?
Oh,
can I just quickly tell it?
I don't remember many of the details, but
all I remember is that my Bob Mullen convinced my dad that they needed to go up to Canada
to get French babes.
And Bob Mullen's reason was French babes, he was saying. So they
I love those hairy pits.
They drove up to Canada and like they were like
what part? Like where are they going? Montreal, I'm guessing.
I think it was Montreal, yeah.
It has to be. That's the French.
That's where the French babes are, Gabe. And like they were like driving to go home or something like that, and like Bob Mullen was driving drunk and like
they were probably both drunk.
He like crashed the fucking car or something like that. And so my dad was pissed at him. So they're both in the back of like a Stadies like car. And
was
my
this all over the border back to America now?
No, they were still in Canada.
Oh, okay.
And so like they're like both put into the back of the squad car, and my dad just starts beating the shit out of Bob Mullen, and the cop like turns around and points his gun at them, and he goes, "Hey, you're not in the States anymore," basically. And that's really all the story. Although there's a story that I remember.
Yeah.
I think there's more details.
Oh, we gotta have Kenny on the show.
Yeah, there's definitely more details, but that's the broad strokes of it.
Yeah, how I remember it as well.
Pretty much.
But now I'm thinking about that Christmas. Do you remember that was fucking sick? We went to Burger King and just got regular whatevers. Yeah. And then they accidentally gave us a bag with literally 25.
They gave us like the Miller family's like dinner.
Like a bunch of like junior whoppers, a bunch of chicken sandwiches, a bunch of like those double stacks.
Yeah, we really should have known.
Stop talking about that. Now I want to go to Burger King.
You can.
Probably still can.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, we should have known when they handed us three bags and we literally ordered, like, two sandwiches.
The best part was, too, is they forgot the thing that I ordered because I got, like, one of those chicken, like, one of those, like, you know, chicken with bacon sandwiches.
Yeah.
So we drove through even having gotten that, and they're like, oh, yeah, sorry, here you go. Yeah, and they gave us that, too.
Yeah.
So we had, like, $50 in fucking Burger King.
Yeah.
And we had just bought Dance Dance Revolution.
Which kind of the two don't go together, but, we did make it work.
That sounds like being sick.
Yeah,
like,
really,
do you still have Dance Dance Revolution?
You have it.
Yeah,
I still have the pad.
I think the pad's at my parents' house, but yeah, it's still around.
Party at my house.
All right. It's for PS2.
Don't matter. I have a PS2 in the living room.
All right, sweet.
I have one in my bedroom. So.
Hell yeah.
I have like two here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty
plentiful. Pretty that was a great system.
It was, yeah. One of the best, I would say.
I've been gaming.
I would say that is the best.
You would say that's the best?
Pound for pound.
Overall, because you got to think it has all the PlayStation 1 games that are great on it.
That's true.
True.
So. Also, just like think about how many great games came out during the PS2 generation.
That's true. I'm always going to be a Super Nintendo fanboy. But...
Yeah, I love Super Nintendo. But in terms of like the disc games, like that's pound for pound the best.
Yeah, I just think that span from PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2 is it's got so many great titles in there. I don't think you can deny that PS2 isn't the greatest system, even though they broke all the fucking time.
Oh, God. You needed to buy. I had to buy like three copies of like my favorite games over the years.
Oh, what? Because scratching and stuff?
Yeah, because the discs were, for some reason, were so much more fucking delicate than...
I remember the system, like the laser would just stop working.
Well, that's if you played DVDs too
which
much. I did.
Which is like, everybody bought it because that was cheaper than a DVD player or like standalone, so everybody bought it for that, and then it would break the system.
Yeah, it would. I just had to watch like Shallow Hal one more time.
I would leave the fucking the menu playing over and over again for, like, in the morning.
No wonder.
Yeah, I remember one time, like, I woke up, like, very early after having slept on your floor, and we'd watch Shallow Hal the night before, and I remember, like, I couldn't fall back asleep, even though it was way too early, and I remember just hearing the same fucking clips of Shallow
Hal.
Same
bad dialogue from the menu.
Tony Robbins fucking gaily, like, saying something in this elephantitis voice. Yeah. Those are the days. Oh, yes. I love that fat suit humor that's no longer a viable thing.
Cutting game discs.
Hell yeah. You're mad. I don't think I ever did that, actually. Yeah. I threatened to, for sure. I'm just going to break it.
I mean, once you found out it was a thing.
Yeah.
Once I
bit
did
my
it.
Game Boy one time. Actually, a lot. I'll be honest.
My Game Boy. I never did that.
I think I broke in a PlayStation controller, like I twisted it in half.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it. I used to chuck them all the time.
I wish I remembered what game.
Yeah.
It was probably playing, like, Driver or something.
I could see that.
There were so many games that I, like, because, like, when you, before, like, the internet and like being able to, you know, having a job, you just had to play the same shitty games or the same games that you were frustrated with,
yeah,
over and over again.
Yeah, because it's like, unless it's Christmas or your birthday, you're not getting anything new.
Right,
you just
gotta
deal with what you have.
And not just that, but also like, once even a good game, like you'd be like, oh my god, I've beaten the Warriors on, like, beaten the shit out of the Warriors, let me try it in the hard mode now,
yeah,
even though it's the same fucking game. But because that's what you did, though. But then when you got up to that harder level, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, I got so fucking mad at it. Even if I was so good at all the stupid mini games where you use the fucking...
You could break into a car in, like, record time.
Oh my god, I was fucking good at that shit. I actually have it for PS4 now.
Do you?
It's the ported version, yeah.
I want to play it again. But the thing is, you're talking about a game that actually has replayability because
sure. It's
actually a good game to begin with.
True, true.
I would play fucking hours of Shrek Super Party.
God, I know that game. I want to play that so bad.
Drop the ball, donkey.
It was reviewed in a
swamp slalom.
It was reviewed in a gaming magazine, and the only pro they said was that it had a colorful game disc.
Yes,
that's the only positive thing they could say about
pros,
it.
Pros, colorful game disc.
Yes,
it's impressive.
Not even bullshitting.
I know Scott would watch it with me and over my house, but do you guys remember like G4 and all that stuff?
Yeah, a little bit.
I wasn't into it.
No?
No.
Some of the shows were good. Some of them were really fucking gay.
Some of them were really bad, but it was like, that was an era where you could have really bad shows on
TV.
Yeah,
everything was really bad on TV at the time.
They had shows.
I mean, it still is.
They had shows on G4 where it was like a show, but like it was a video game. And they'd have, like, different bad RPGs, and then they would just voice over the RPG characters, like, walking around.
Oh, my God. I remember that a little bit, too. That's fucking so gay.
Like, to talk about, they were like, all right, we have this video game channel. We need to fucking take up space.
And then it ended up just being cops. And it was also, they put cops and cheaters on all the time.
Okay, and that's where Ninja Warrior started, too.
It was.
It was all the Japanese ones, and this is, like, obviously way before American Ninja Warrior.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, they had, like, fucking, like, 10 seasons of the Japanese show, and they just, like, sold it in bulk to America, and then they just put, like, English commentary over it.
Yeah, basically.
Kind of similar to how Power Rangers came to be.
They also used to have
the Jews who run the Power Rangers.
On Saturday mornings, they'd have Kaiju Big Battle.
Oh, I remember that too.
I don't know what that is.
So
that's similar too, because it's a Japanese show that they take, like, adults take seriously, and then it's like basically like a big square fenced in area with like a Godzilla-esque
city.
And they have people in fucking robot and like Power Ranger suits, like fighting, like wrestling, and then breaking the city apart.
It's kind of the best. It's like making wrestling interesting because they're dressed up like Godzilla characters and they're like destroying a city.
Giant robots.
I'll probably give it a watch. Actually,
it was kind of
awesome.
It
got kind of old very quickly.
No,
yeah,
it was
but
great.
This is the, can you imagine how Japanese people fucking?
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
It. Dude, they
so
watch
good.
Fucking. They have that fucking bug fighting thing too. If you pull it up on YouTube, where they just literally have like bracketed different bugs fighting each other, like for real.
Wow.
And there's like scorpion. A scorpion got owned by something I would never have thought.
And what was that?
I think it was a stag beetle or something with a big pincer claw.
Hmm.
And it squeezed the fucking scorpion in half.
Damn, son.
And it took a few fucking blows from the stinger too.
Wow.
I heard that scorpion.
Look that up on YouTube,
dive.
Listeners.
It was a fixed fight.
Oh, yeah, he took
shit.
A dive.
Took
yeah.
a dive. I bet you people are probably watching that kind of shit now because of all the sports being gone.
Well, no, it's all like just like
10
years ago in Japan, I think.
No, I know, but I'm saying like weird shit like that because it's like people need to get that betting fix. You know what I mean?
Yeah, degenerate gamblers didn't go anywhere.
So when there's nothing to bet on,
there's still
what do you do?
Online poker you can do.
I mean, I'd take that over watching real sports.
Yeah.
And,
playing online poker?
Yeah, actually being engaged
in
what I'm doing. Yeah.
I'm not into the gambling, but I have friends that are fiends on it. I have no idea what they're even doing right now.
I'm talking about even watching sports. I would fucking rather play online poker.
Hmm.
But that's just me being me.
I've had one sitting in here for fucking Marshall to come back for like ever.
Okay, well,
and I'm not gonna use it now.
Yeah, really.
It's not gonna be funny because it's to pick on Marshall.
Well, what is it?
It's the butt muscle thing. But it's like, yeah, like, then it's only funny if he's here.
It isn't even funny. It's just some girl that he called butt muscle that was ugly and had a
called her butt muscle. I called her butt muscle, and we're not talking about. The other thing I have in there is retarded. You can see if it has legs if you really want to.
Why not?
What?
Cheese pizza is the best pizza and the worst pizza at the same time.
I kind of agree.
I don't think that's
as controversial as you think it is.
Well, because it's a good vehicle for everything else, but it's like, if you get just a cheese pizza, unless it's like...
It's hard to fuck up.
Yeah.
But, although I told...
If you have a fucking, like, not... Like, a Neapolitan, like Italian brick oven pizza with, like, good cheese and stuff on it, really all you need is cheese sauce and, like, some basil.
In fact, if you're going to make a pizza with that, like, kind of soft cheese like that, you can't really put toppings.
Right.
Because it'll make the pizza too wet.
It's kind of delicate. Very thin crust.
Yeah, well, either way, I agree with... I don't think what you're saying is very controversial. It's like, if you're going to eat shitty pizza, you want just cheese pizza. Because if you get shitty pizza with a bunch of toppings on it, it's going to be shitty toppings.
Yeah, it's like, do you want shitty cheese or shitty meats?
Yeah,
it's
I'd much rather have shitty cheese.
I'm trying to think back to like my Mystic Pizza days, like when my mom would buy all those really bad frozen pizzas.
Well, that's completely another talk conversation.
No, I think it's going to be, you want like pepperoni.
Okay, well, then if you're talking frozen, that's filled with like a bunch of like fucking preservatives and shit, so it's just pure salt, and you're eating it, you're adding that stuff just for pure salt, so it distracts you from the shitty crust and shitty sauce.
Mama Celeste is not on the up and up.
No, but the point of though with that is like, you can't have a like this if you have a shitty like a very low like even that fucking classic pizza too, if you recall all the way back in the John Waters episode. I was going on the way back from picking up my rabbit for the first time, and we were like, hadn't eaten for famished because it was like 4 hours both way, like each way.
Really?
I was like, no, it was like 2.5 hours each way.
Where was it?
It's like literally on the border of Gill, Massachusetts. It's like, it's over like as far, further than Worcester and north by Vermont.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus. So it was very far. And we were like, what the fuck? But on the road that we were on, like we passed by it on the way there, and we were like, okay, let's just stop at that little pizza place. Fucking worst pizza I've ever had. I literally was
What's it called?
Classic Pizza 2. I'm sure they're doing great during this whole fucking shutdown.
Yeah.
Thing.
So wait, so that means that they were good enough to get a second restaurant.
We made this joke on the first time I talked about it. Huh. So good garnered a sequel.
Well, the thing I'm thinking is, like, if you have shitty pizza... Like,
it was like ketchup as the fucking sauce,
dude. The baseline for pepperoni, because it's like a salted meat and it's like you just buy it everywhere, like no one makes their own pepperoni for the most part. So the baseline like shitty pepperoni is, it's like, oh, it's still pepperoni. You know what I'm saying?
I guess.
So it only can really elevate a shitty pizza.
Mm. Do you want your shitty popcorn?
So wait, now are you arguing with your own initial argument?
No, I'm saying that elevates a shitty pizza.
I don't know. Not necessarily. It depends, because they can have like...
A cheese pizza is just really plain to me. It's not something I'm going to order unless it's like we discussed, the really, really good cheese pizza.
Or fucking if it's like a special deal for like multiple cheese pizzas.
Like at Lucky's.
That's literally what I was getting at. Because I remember we used to, like, on a Friday night, it was like, oh, we can each get like $5 together.
We talked about this, and then remember Blee would come, and then
Blee was not invited to that.
Not anymore.
You don't let Blee in your home.
No.
He's like a vampire.
Yeah, once he's invited, he just eats the outhouse at home.
Pretty much.
So what's the best frozen pizza?
Best frozen pizza.
Did you guys grow? Because I grew up pretty hard on frozen pizzas.
Oh, so did I. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I try not to eat them now.
Yeah.
Because I've eaten enough for an entire lifetime.
Yeah, I feel the same way, kind of.
I have one for dinner.
Did you? old habits die hard. I know what I think is the best. I can't think of the name of it.
Freschetta.
It's
not that bad.
Freschetta is the best.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
DiGiorno sucks ass.
I don't think DiGiorno sucks ass, but everybody sucks its dick. And it's
I don't
not
know why. The crust is fucking, it's like boboli, dude.
It's one of those
worse
like,
than both. Frozen boboli.
It's that the bready, soggy crust.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's like poo-poo John's.
Oh, tell me about it. Anyone who says fucking Poo Poo John's is better than is good pizza, it should be executed.
I've actually never
better
had
ingredients.
It.
You never had no. What if, that's what we're eating when we when the give me a cheese double cheeseburger. Blah,
I don't think I ate any.
Oh, maybe you didn't.
I think I was
better
just
ingredients,
there.
Better pizza, Poo Poo John's.
More racist as EEOs.
Is that the restaurant where somebody put a name on a customer receipt and they made the name Lady Chinky Eyes?
Oh, I hope so.
Because I might have to go get some of their pizza now.
I would get free pizzas from there all the time because I would order them as bad roommate and then not go pick them up. And then I'd go like, we'd go get Anthony to like be like the end of his shift.
Yeah.
So Chobe's the end of his shift and then we just take the pizza home.
Right. Yep. And then also if you like ever ordered a pizza from them, like every few months they'd be like, you haven't ordered a pizza in a while. Come pick up a free, you know. They'd call you and be like, yo, what's up? Do you want a free pizza right now?
Like Papa Gino's does that, but they email you. They don't like
that's
actually
probably,
like...
probably, I'd probably get more hits on than that. But maybe that was their strategy. They call you and you don't want to be like, what the fuck? What, Papa Poo Poo John's is calling
me? They sold a free pizza for that.
True.
Fucking stupid. I never bought anything. And then I'd have on a cycle of that free pizza and I would just consistently get free pizzas.
Yeah, same.
Which was very
I never ordered.
Very useful as like a high school to college student.
Sure.
Although... I remember one time we were, like, recording something over Mike's house and we ordered, like, fucking 80 wings. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, I kind of do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and they weren't good.
No, they weren't.
They're Poo Poo John's.
Because they were those ones where they wrap them in the foil and then they're soggy and gross.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The skin's falling off the chicken already.
And they're just those, like, tiny, teeny-weeny fucking chicken wings.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it was bullshit. Let's go to break.
Honestly, that the pizza had more legs than I thought.
I knew
it
would. I got a lot. I have a lot of opinions on these things. Yeah.
With
be right back. Welcome back to Some Apocalypse Now, show where we talk about movies. This week is another Shekel-loving selection of the month from yours truly. And we're going to be talking about No Country for Old Men. 2008, Best Picture.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When did you first see this? Did you see it at the time when it came out?
No, I saw it later, but not much, much later.
Yeah, I didn't see it immediately when it came out, but I saw it probably... It probably was still 2008 when I saw it, I think.
I think it was like probably 2010 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember my first viewing. This is probably one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies.
Me too. I think this is my favorite, actually.
It'd probably be between... Probably between this and Fargo.
That's my third.
Yeah, I like Fargo a lot. I also really like Raising Arizona.
I'm between No Country and Raising Arizona. It's my top two. I'm not sure which I like more.
Yeah. And I like to take a moment to point out how well they do different tones of movie.
Oh.
The Coens. Because this is like such like a fuck. There are like comical moments in it, but like at the same time, it's still like such a serious and dark movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even Javier Bardem's fucking haircut is scary in this movie.
Yeah,
I agree.
What's it called? And apparently, my wife was telling me this before while we were watching it again this weekend. That he was like a pretty boy, like heartthrob actor prior to this movie. And this like launched his like actual acting career. Pretty great performance considering.
The only other thing I've seen him in, and he was, he played the bad guy in like a 007 movie.
I was going to say, didn't he go on to be in a James Bond movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember he was the only good part about that movie.
Which one was it?
Spectre or one of them. It's one of the newer ones. I don't really care for them.
I don't like Daniel Craig. I don't like Daniel Craig either. There's only one James Bond to me.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So this is best picture winner, best supporting actor, Javier, best director and adapted screenplay.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's a book. I never read it.
Yeah, me either.
I would actually be interested in checking it out. It's
by the same guy who wrote The Road, which I read. So I'm familiar with the guys, right? He also wrote Blood Meridian. That's a big,
I didn't realize
popular.
The Road was a... I actually have that on my list of movies to watch. I didn't realize that was a book, too.
I didn't care for the movie, but I read the book first, so that's... I didn't know... Actually, I read the book before it was a movie. It was just like a New York Times bestseller at the time.
As Scott such pushes his it was glasses a New York Times
best. It was a New York Times bestseller.
Kidding.
I bought it at the fucking airport, for Christ's sake.
He snugs his beanie on his head, as he says.
I literally bought it and read it on one plane ride.
Sure, sure.
So this movie's set in, it's like 1980s.
Is it? I didn't even realize
in a Texas town in like... Right over the like Mexican border, kind of in the Texas backcountry, just for the setting. I didn't realize it was...
That was West Texas.
And I didn't realize it was 80s either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that explicit.
Well, there's a subtitle, I think, at the beginning.
It's not like...
I don't think so.
It's not like super in your face with it, which is like... Well, it's kind of better.
That is kind of better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think just like movies that take place in that time period work better because there's no like, oh, why wouldn't they use their cell phone?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know,
I also just in general hate cell phones in movies.
Me too. Yeah,
because I feel
it's
like
a Deus Ex Machina.
I also feel like a fucking year later, it's gonna just look outdated.
True.
Whatever phone is being used, because
right.
now
unless
you watch these like early 2000s
specific time period in which it's like right. Like now that the equivalent of that would be like me watching The Sopranos now. It took place then, and it's like this took place in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that is a little different, I would say.
Why? Because of the flip phones and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it I know what Don's saying is it kind of almost takes you out of it.
Somewhat. It depends.
Because your brain goes, oh, where, what time period is this? Oh, okay.
There's their fucking Motorola fucking
yeah.
Razor. Whatever was cool at the time.
Yeah.
They're coming out with another Razor.
Sidekick.
They're coming out with a Razor flip phone, or like smartphone that you can fold the screen.
Yeah, Samsung already has a folding phone.
It's fucking weird.
Honestly, those kind of were a better design, but we're not going to go down that road.
Yeah, I just kind of prefer the physical buttons.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I miss my keyboard, man.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, no. I just, like I said, it kind of just works better in the terms of like telling us. Also, I think that there's certain, if it takes place in the 80s or whatever, there's a certain level of isolation you feel because of the lack of computer.
I was going to say, when you think of an 80s period piece, you think of what they did with the fucking It remake, where it's just so like fucking
everything.
Like,
hey, fucking E.T.
It was all synth music all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And this movie doesn't do anything like that, thank God. Because
it
doesn't need to.
It's very, standard score, like, thriller movie score.
Yeah.
Regular, what you'd expect in maybe a movie that came out then. Or, or actually, there was a lot of good thrillers at this time period when this came out, actually.
The big thing, too, now is, like, especially because of, like, Stranger Things, which, like, sparked the thing with It, where they're like,
yeah.
Hey, remember this from the 80s? Everybody's wearing bright colors. Look at the funny hairstyles. It's like, well, it wasn't
they
all
got big
that.
Big glasses.
It wasn't all that. But they have to make it, like, the way they portray 80s in most things is very, like, cartoonish.
I really dislike it. I dislike anything that's, like, hey, look how, like, retro this is.
Remember
this? Yeah.
It's just, like, everything's neon, apparently, in the 80s.
Well, you weren't around, Gabe.
And, well, I guess I wasn't, but... I mean, I do enjoy...
How do you know?
I do enjoy the synth wave and the like, that...
No,
that...
when it's overdone, though, it's horrible.
No, I'm saying I enjoy the whole, like... The 80s, like, what they thought the future would sound like.
Cyberpunk.
But that's besides the point. Yeah, basically.
I like it when it was organic, like, actually from the 80s.
From the
80s, like...
and they were like, what would the future look like based off of what we have now?
Yeah, not a 2018 version of what things used to be like.
Right, in the future.
But
also
used,
in
used
the future.
Used to be like air quotes.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
Sorry to get off topic.
Yeah.
I just, like, I don't know, like... As much as I love this movie, I don't know what to say about it besides go through all my favorite parts.
Yeah, really. It's a kind of movie where it's pretty close to as close as you can be to being a perfect movie, yeah. I would say. There's really
it's
nothing wrong with it.
It's got moments of gravitas. It's got the tone is perfect. The feel, like the performances are really good.
Cinematography.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. Well, that's a given with Coen brothers, but
I think this one's even like a step above their others.
I really like the lighting, the big shots when they're outside, like in the desert are really cool.
Oh, that specifically that first shot, that first part where he looks down on like the scene of like where the cartel shootout was, and he shows up there and he's like just hunting, and you look down and it's just so gorgeous. You look every part of the screen has something interesting going on in it.
The violence in this is pretty brutal too.
It's brutal, but it's like realistic brutal, and it's not
it's not over the top,
not cartoony. I also think it's interesting that the opening like montage with all the like scenic shots with the voiceover. One of their early movies, it's almost like identical. The opening.
What movie?
I forget what it was. It's like
Blood Simple.
It might have been.
I haven't seen that.
It might have been. I don't think Blood Simple, but it was one of their like with first or second movies.
Uh-huh.
They did something very very similar. I just thought it was interesting.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
This whole movie just bases around Josh Brolin as your starring character, basically.
He kind of leaves. I mean, spoilers, but I mean, the film continues on when he isn't in the part of it anymore, though.
Yeah.
So it's not. I mean, it is about. He kind of sets the plot in motion, but he isn't necessarily the protagonist.
We're gonna say he's very central to the whole entire.
Sure.
Story.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin happens upon a drug deal gone bad when he's hunting, goes away from that little scene and finds the guy with the money because he knows there must be the last guy.
Sure. Somebody has the money. Maybe he made it away, but it's worth looking around for a few to find out.
So he finds this guy with the bag of money and he decides finders keepers. And
how much was the amount?
$2 million, right? Is that what they said?
Oh, adjusting for inflation, that's so much money.
Nuts. Do you know what? And obviously, I watched this. I've already seen the movie, so I watch it with hindsight. But why wouldn't you immediately take the money out of the bag?
He's never handled something like this before.
He's a bit of a yokel.
Yeah.
But, I guess maybe knowing from what I know from
maybe
like
he doesn't
bank
have a nice,
robbery
a nice,
movies and shit.
Maybe he doesn't have a nice bag to put it all in.
But you can put it in a trash bag. The point being is that
so he carries around Polish luggage of his fucking money.
I think part of his character is that the whole movie's about the dichotomy of like the old generation and the new generation. He's kind of a mix of both.
Right.
He's kind of like an
old-fashioned. He was a NAM.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, yeah. He's kind of in between. He's kind of got a foot in both worlds.
Because
I mean, I guess you wouldn't think of a tracker in the 80s. Like, it wouldn't be so like now.
It was radio frequency, I'm assuming.
Well, it's like the way I think of now is like if you rob a bank or something, you're going to always look for the like.
Those packets. That
exactly.
Explode, yeah.
So it's like.
Also, he's not a criminal.
No.
Right.
He's just a drunk guy, drunk Vietnam vet.
I'd say what he's doing is illegal, but it's a crime of opportunity.
It's opportunistic, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Who wouldn't?
Those pepperoni nipples. He basically, aside from the tracker, which we find out later, he could have washed his hands of the whole thing, but he has guilt of, like, finding one of these guys.
Oh, yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah,
he's
the old guy in him.
Exactly,
as opposed to Anton Chigurh is just like, oh, he kills people for fun, almost.
Mm.
Or it's, like, some weird sense of duty.
Yeah,
he's got a weird code of like how everything he does,
and it's all and you when you think you understand what it is, he'll throw you a curveball, and it's just so deranged.
I like how vague Josh Brolin is with his wife.
That's a tactic to make sure that she has, like, say they did get to her, so she couldn't like spill the beans as where he is.
Yeah, true. But I don't know. I just think it's fun. Like, that's
the thing.
He's
not vague with it. He literally, like, she's like, what's that? He's like, oh, a sack full of money.
Yeah, he tells her right away.
No, he's actually very straightforward with her, but she just doesn't believe a word he says.
Where'd you get that gun? The Gettin' store?
Oh, yeah.
The Gettin' place, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, was he going to sit there and explain, well, honey, I found all these dead Mexicans, and I took their gun. But yeah, that that was like the old school in him where he's like, well, up here, I'm sorry, I didn't give him the water, fucking mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that really, like...
And that's his undoing. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, a kind technically, deed. Kind of, we don't know this at this point, but there was a tracker.
True, true.
So he would have found him eventually.
But, I mean, it's a lot easier to find him when they basically...
they saw his car, yeah.
I love that scene where he's like, where he goes down and he looks up, and it's just
his car there.
That kind of reminds me of, there are things about this movie that kind of remind me of, like, Halloween a little bit.
Okay,
like, in the way, like, the suspense is done, and it's all very visual, and the way it's shot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's ideas of, like, personification of, like, fate and just something that just comes out.
Personification
after.
Of evil?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, the shape, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a guy named Anton Chigurh. Exactly. And also, it's kind of one of those things where we were talking about it a little bit, I guess it's not the same way, but we were talking last week about Harold and Maude, how like it kind of blends between it's in the gray area between reality and like mystical, magical.
Yeah.
And he and Anton Chigurh is definitely like in that weird. I don't know what's going on with this guy. It's almost too weird to believe.
He's almost not human.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, you know the scene where he's cleaning his wounds and everything?
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of the original Terminator when he's doing like the surgery to his eye. It's like he's a fucking machine.
Right.
Yeah.
The way he's very methodical, everything he does.
Well, I was also going to say, especially specifically in that scene, you can see how fucking pissed he is that he has to deal with like mortal form. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wishes he was just the spirit of vengeance.
Yeah.
And not wrapped in fucking goo and
being
like be a water balloon that is being a person.
Yeah, it's just an inconvenience being human.
Yeah, I could be killing that guy who got me clipped me a little bit with birdshot.
It could be way more efficient.
Yeah, if I wasn't even human.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, yeah, this is the thing. This fucking movie puts all those germs in your head, you know what I mean?
The only thing that's I'm not crazy about, and it's probably because I don't read into him as much, is the whole scenes with, what's his name, Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah. He's got some fucking pretty decent monologues in there.
He's got some cool stuff, but I feel like it's kind of like juxtaposition to the rest of the movie.
That's the whole thing, because he is grappling with the fact that this kind of criminal is not what he's used to.
Yeah. He's the polar opposite of what Anton is.
Yeah. He does everything by the books, and he's got a rapport with the people, and that's how he gets information from them, as opposed to using brute force.
He is what a man used to be. Anton is what a man is becoming.
Right. More brutal, more sick, more depraved. And he's like, sure, he stops crimes, and he's probably killed a bunch of people, probably fought in World War II based on his age. But at the same time, he's got like a good heart. Basically, and he does all the things that he does from the position of someone with a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he became a cop is to help people, ostensibly, as opposed to, you know, make money or whatever.
Right.
He kind of just found himself as, like, the sheriff or whatever. Well, so it's worth mentioning, you have to be elected to sheriff. People got to know who you are. So there's a certain level of personality involved.
He knew everybody, even knew Josh Brolin. He knew him from his truck.
Yeah, just from seeing his truck, yeah.
And that's like the same thing. It's a lot of people who are like, you know, hate cops and shit now, they're like sure, like there's some validity to what they say, because like back in the old days, like there was a beat cop who did the same neighborhood every night and knew everyone on the block.
Well,
and
they
now,
used
like,
to have to be from that area too, like unless you like grew up in that neighborhood or whatever, or at least in that general vicinity,
knew the neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't be doing that.
And now, like, they have like basically like little armies come to your house if someone on Twitch fucking calls them and says you have a gun.
Bananas.
But yeah, so there's that. What's my other favorite scenes? Of course, just like let's just talk about the fucking the fucking scene with the coin flip.
Yeah, I thought
that's like one of the most like referenced and also most poignant moments in the movie.
Specifically, the one at the gas station.
Yeah,
kind of epitomizes his whole philosophy.
Right. It's he considers himself again like a force more than a man, and he lets things as trivial as a coin flip determine whether he's
life
going
and
to life and death. Something so trivial to something that should be to any normal human being like a serious matter, a grave concern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he even treats it as such. Like, he's just eating peanuts the whole time he's talking to this guy, and he's basically like contemplating killing this man.
Kind of, but he kind of, you're right in the sense that he says it to the guy to be like, well, this is really important. And then also the fact that the guy is like kind of a dumb fuck and isn't like saying what he wants him to, you can see him get kind of frustrated too.
Mm-hmm.
Which also kind of jives, especially the guy's kind of old now that you mentioned this old guy young guy Jackson position. Not that I didn't get it with the fucking with Tommy Lee Jones, but like now that I'm looking at the whole movie through that, it's like, oh, that's an old guy. He doesn't know what the fuck this guy's weird game is.
Yeah, he says to him, you've been gambling your life like all along, you just didn't know it.
Yeah. And he doesn't give like a fucking like written like a movie response, so he starts to get frustrated, which is just kind of, it kind of says to me, it says like, this guy maybe with the way the world's heading, but there's still a lot of people clinging on to the way that it always was.
You call them stupid. I wouldn't call him stupid. He's just like, that dude grew up there and he knows how things go there.
No, he was from somewhere else, remember? They actually went into detail that
inherited his wife's family business.
But I'm saying he's from fucking Texas and he's like only known that small town kind of life. He moved from another small town to move there to take over his
father-in-law's
store
station,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying he's not dumb. It's just like, he's an old-timey... He's an old time, like,
I mean,
good old
smart.
Giving him the benefit of the doubt a little bit, but sure. I see what you're trying
but
to
also,
say.
But also, like, how many of these kinds of people are you going to meet in your lifetime where you're like, fuck, I shouldn't fuck with this guy?
Well, the guy, clearly Anton Chigurh is putting off a vibe where he's like, I'm trying to be intimidating to you, though.
Yeah.
But would you, if you were, like, a gas station clerk, would you expect a guy to come in and be like, well, I'm going to kill you instead of paying for this gas?
He didn't say that, though.
What are the chances?
Well, I wouldn't be a gas station clerk.
True. And this guy
I think you need a certain mentality to even go into that.
That's because neither of you guys are essential workers, okay?
That's true.
That's why
we do not pump gas.
Actually, an essential worker.
True.
True story.
I don't know. I mean, I'm probably digging too deep into this, but...
No. I think it's worth digging.
But like even the shot with after he's done eating the peanuts, he crinkles it up the wrapper and he puts it on the desk, and then it like shows a close up of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but even that shot's good.
Well, it's kind of like everything he does is like super deliberate, and he's like trying to. This is like again like almost like he's kind of a douchebag, kind of, because he's like, well, I'm going to very intimidatingly crinkle up this fucking bag of peanuts.
Very, very theatrical.
Yes, that's what
like
I'm going to say.
Everything
yeah.
he does.
Yeah.
But
if you thought everything that you did was symbolic of fucking life and death, wouldn't
and
you,
I do.
Though? Yeah.
Well, he thinks he is the personified death, basically.
Not necessarily, but the fate maker, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
More so than the death itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's an agent of change. Everything he touches is affected. You know? And also, by the way, I noticed in that first season of the Fargo TV show, they took a lot of the characteristics of this character and made the Billy Bob Thornton character a lot like him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Bad haircut.
Well, it's a fucking wig with Billy Bob Thornton.
First of all, if you're going to have a bad guy, you got to start with a bad haircut.
A bad wig. What else is some of my favorite scenes?
I feel like we didn't even mention his weapon of choice, and I feel like it's
I was
worth
gonna
a
say
mention.
That. Yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah,
pretty,
yeah, yeah. Well, that's a thing where I like how in the scene where Tommy Lee Jones figures out that's what he's using to kill the people, and he kind of just offhandedly says it to Josh Brolin's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, why'd you tell me that? He goes, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, he told her a story about some guy like being drunk and he was gonna like put down a cow, but then he like fucked it up somehow and he got hurt.
Sure.
And then he was like, "Oh, but they don't do that anymore. That now they do."
Right, but that's when he starts to piece it together, and it's also like, that's when you see him start to be like, "Oh, this guy is fucking serious about
but
killing
that's,
people."
That's once again to the new.
Well, he's starting to figure it out, and that's what makes him realize how out of touch he is.
The old versus young.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's once again to
that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. But I like how that happens kind of like organically. He pieces it together.
Right,
it doesn't
feel
ham-fisted at all.
Mm, I agree.
Again, it's just so well written.
Yeah.
And it's got such good word economy. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah. Gabe, do you know what I'm talking about?
As far as like they say a lot with not saying a lot.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Word economy.
I'm with you there. Yeah, definitely. I like the old sheriff at the end when he's like talking to him about he's like it's these kids with the drugs.
Oh yeah. Oh, he represents another generation even further gone by, where he just can't even fathom.
Yeah.
You know.
It's these kids with the drugs. It's crazy. Literally, like, a cartoon-like cowboy sheriff.
Yeah, he's like a prospector.
Like, Tommy Lee Jones is at least able to, like, work through it.
Right,
you know.
And also, you know, fucking, I know, he does some pretty good police work in his own right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still got it in him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's already, like, in talks to fucking retire as it is. Which, he's a pretty old guy. Like in real life. I wonder how old the character is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could figure it out. How old did he say his dad was when he died?
I'm not doing this math.
Because you
could
do it.
I can't remember.
Because he said, at the end, he says he's 20 years older than his dad was when he died.
Okay, well, I don't remember how old he said his dad was.
I don't think they did say it.
Well,
this is a fool's
errand.
I'm
just saying, it's one of those things that someone on the internet could fucking figure it out.
Yeah. Sure, I'm sure you could just, it's listed on the fucking Wikipedia page for the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Most often in fucking fiction, works of fiction, they mention at least the age range that they're in, or appearance of how old they look.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're all on the subject of weapons too. His silent shotgun that he fucking carries around.
No, but that's impossible. We all know that.
It's not impossible.
It's highly improbable.
Well, it is. That gun wasn't made yet of the date, but I just thought it was cool.
Gabe, can I ask, in the scene where the dog's chasing him down and he has to like take the clip out and like reload really quickly, did it bother you that he didn't cock the gun?
No, he did cock the gun.
I don't think so.
Because he takes the bullet out. When he takes the bullet out, he's cocking the gun.
Oh.
He's taking the bullet out, he blows down the thing, and then he does it back.
I guess
as soon as he slings back the slide,
it pulls another bullet up into the chamber.
Okay. Okay.
No, I actually like that. In most movies, he would just shoot him.
Right.
Mm.
But also the fact that he had to do all that added so significantly to the
tension. Oh, it's so well timed and well edited that sequence. It's beautiful.
I've also like had that happen in video games today. Today.
You playing Red Dead or something?
Fallout.
Okay. Killing a dog mid jump.
He was diving at me, and I exploded his head with a shotgun.
It was literally a dog too.
Yeah,
nice.
What are they called?
Also,
rabid mongrel or whatever.
You know it's well done when I'm not sad that a dog died.
Oh fuck that dog.
Yeah, that fucking dog was gonna eat him. Also, that dog is probably like a champion dog fighting dog and ate many other dogs.
Yeah.
So he consumed their power.
Good riddance.
Asking for it.
Also, he's Mexican. Came from Mexico.
That was my first thought.
Yeah. Mexican dog. Unless he's that cute little chihuahua.
That's a huge chihuahua. No.
Yeah. Unless that cute little chihuahua says, Yo quiero Taco Bell. I don't want nothing to do
with
it.
Chihuahuas are fucks, dude.
I've literally two of the nicest dogs I've ever met were chihuahuas.
I've gotten bitten by more chihuahuas than at like big dogs ever.
I've been bit by more pit bulls than any other dog, but you seem to love them still. So.
Yeah, I've only ever bit by one pit bull.
I've been bit by three pit bulls.
I've never been bit by a dog, actually.
Really? Mm.
No.
I never got badly bit, thankfully. But, you know.
Did you get between them and the food?
No. I told you that one of these dogs were anti-Semitic.
He's like,
It's a Jew. I know it.
Yeah, well, actually, I also determined that he's not just a, he's just a full bigot because he hated Julia's gay uncle, too. Mm. And he was not Jewish. Actually, it's funny. I know that this is a little off topic, but the other day I was, the other day, it was like fucking 5 weeks ago. I was coming up to my floor that the shop of my company is, mm-hmm. like the showroom. And I came out of the elevator, and then there's all these Armenians. They brought their dogs in because it was like a slow week. And there was like three dogs, and they were like kind of mutts, I think. And I saw, they basically saw me come out of the elevator, turned and looked at me, and just started barreling towards me. And I was like, oh my God, is this it? They fucking, two of them jumped up to my face and just started kissing me. Oh, and I was like, oh, that's pretty sweet. Mutts are good dogs. Muttsies.
But next time.
Yeah, well, I think, well, why was it scary? Because they weren't fucking land shark pit bulls, so.
Back to the movie.
Oh, yes, back to the newscast. Yeah. No, back to the newscast.
I mean, what else is there more to say? I feel like we don't really want to rip it apart too much just because you should really see this movie.
We talked about some of the major themes. I know we did talk about some of the major themes, I mean, but...
It's pretty safe to say that all of us are going to be like, watch this movie.
Yeah, obviously. Anything else we want to talk... Oh, I guess, again, the action, we did mention that you said some of the blood was pretty brutal, but like, the action was extremely well executed in the sense that it was all in very kind of the way real violence is. It's in very short bursts of intense bursts, as opposed to being like a very long fight shootout scene. There's no shootouts in this movie, really. It's people just being killed. Yeah, I mean, there is, but there's no like guys like leaning over a piece of cover and going do 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 and then hiding and then shooting again.
I mean, there's a little bit of it, but it's definitely more grounded in reality. It's not, there's no like movie.
Rambo, yeah.
There's no real movie moments.
Sure.
In this film.
And there's like a lot of execution style killings, which is very in keeping with what the cartels really are. That's how most of killing goes on in those fucking cartel wars.
And also, like, and especially in the fight scenes and, well, the action scenes, this movie does suspense so well.
Yeah.
Like, we mentioned the dog. There's a scene.
Oh, the scene where he's pulling the fucking money through the fucking the grates,
the air duct.
The air duct. Oh my God! The first time I saw that, I was like, hyperventilating. especially when they do that switcheroo where you think it's on the side that they're about to break into the room that he's in.
Yeah, that's great.
That part is like, oh, you're like, oh my God, is this it? Is this where he loses? He gets fucking wasted. And it's like, oh, they did the fucking old Reddit switcheroo on me.
I especially like the whole chase scene when he's in the hotel after he went to the Mexican hospital.
Yeah.
And Javier is like busting in, and he's like, you can see the light on the other side of the door, and then you can hear the tracker.
His name's Anton Chigurh.
Oh, in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just calling him. I mean, you know who I'm talking about.
How would you not take every opportunity to say Chigurh?
I don't know. You could see him on the other side of the door. You hear the tracker, and then like you're like, oh, whoa, he walked past. Oh no.
Oh.
And then he ends up fucking blasting through the door.
Right.
And that whole thing where he's like, I'm not gonna hurt you. He jumps in the guy's truck, and then he gets blasted out. Mm-hmm. Oh, that whole thing like is cool.
A lot of people are annoyed by the end of this movie.
I like
why.
It.
I like it too. Because it kind of lends to that, like, is he such a fucking psycho that he'll just let himself bleed out and die or whatever? And, or you could also, your mind can go like, oh, he's fine. It's barely fucked him up. Like,
I took that as being like, this new generation, like, is going to get some kind of comeuppance in some way. That's what I took from it.
Did you see what you're saying?
Did you notice the subtle thing? And I didn't even pick this up. Charity did. And this is like, I probably seen this movie like 2-3 times maybe. Where he's coming out of the house and he checks his shoes.
Yeah.
For blood. I never noticed that before. Yeah.
I actually love the preceding scene. That's actually probably my favorite scene in the movie.
Oh, yeah, where he's almost forced to... Like, again, the same thing that happened with the fucking coin flip scene, or the first coin flip scene.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to play... Like, the first guy was, like, too dense to do what he wanted.
Yeah,
I'm not going to... What?
This might delve into spoilers. Whatever, and obviously, dude.
It's a fucking... It's an 11-year-old, 12-year-old movie.
Yeah, but we're saying you should watch it.
Yeah, as I know. But it won Best Picture. I think people have probably seen it.
You should probably see it.
Yeah, if you don't want spoilers, tune out now.
No. So the time before with the guy at the gas station, he was like too dense to say the responses that he wanted. She's deliberately not giving him the satisfaction.
She's like, I'm not just going to accept what you say, that you have to do this. You don't have to do this. Yeah. You are electing to do this.
Yep.
And I like the whole, everybody says the same thing. Because it is cliche at this point.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, how many times has he done it at this point? Probably a ridiculous amount. He's got a whole modus operandi.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I love that last... Oh, I'm sorry. When I said ending, I meant when he walks away.
After the...
The car crash.
Oh, people are upset that
So much. I agree with you with the monologue being the last moment being perfect.
Oh, no, I was talking about that scene, but talking about... I thought people were upset that he just abruptly gets in a car accident. Like, his only...
I think a lot of people are retarded and need to see... In order for them to get their rocks off, they have to see either that he definitely got away or didn't definitely get away.
Yeah. Finality.
I usually choose vagueness over anything because
you can have your own headcanon. In fact, if you really felt so inclined, you could have your same, you could feasibly do the mental gymnastics required to the idea that he decided that this was the last time he was going to pull that stupid coin flip thing and didn't even kill her. You could feasibly, most likely not, let's get real, especially with the check in the shoes.
Yeah.
But in some fucking alternate Ping universe where it veered off, where it zigged instead of zagged, you could feasibly imagine a universe in which that occurred.
Yeah, sure.
I told Charity after she said that, I was like, no, he's just checking his shoes for poo.
For dog shit, yeah.
Yeah.
He could have stepped in poo. You don't know.
So, what are we at?
35 in the second half.
That's fine. How about screwing?
That's fine.
So anyway, this movie, again, it's up there for me in terms of their best movies. I've watched it like fucking 5 times now. Maybe 4, I don't know. Again, performances good. Josh Brolin's not really ever good, and he was good in this. Or he's not bad. He's not good. I mean, he's not like this is his best performance. I
can't think of another standout good performance.
Yeah,
from him.
He's just usually serviceable.
I'd agree with that.
So yeah, the Kike brothers were able to pull one out of him as well. Again, the music was good. Like, and again, it was nice for it to be a period piece without it being fucking cyberpunk, or not putting in like pop music. I hate that. That really would have wrecked this movie.
We're taking out of it.
Yeah, no matter what time period it was from. And I don't know, just great dialogue. Cinematography is excellent. You know how I feel about the Kike brothers. So I give this movie an 8.
Well said. I feel much the same way. I think it's been understated how great the cinematography was. Yeah. It's some of the best cinematography in any movie I've ever seen.
It definitely shows you doesn't tell you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Performances were great overall. I think... Perfect casting.
Yep.
For just about every character. Great script. Really nothing wrong with this. The only thing on this viewing, some of the dialogue, like, it for me, it's a very thin line between being a little bit corny. Because, I mean, there are Tarantino movies, like, I always use this as an example, where, like, some of it, like, it's just at the tipping point where it's, like, almost too far. But then it's a thin line between cool and corny. And this movie, a couple times, it almost goes too far.
You could tell the smirk that came off of you know, Ethan or Joel Cohen as he typed it into the typewriter.
Oh, absolutely.
He smirked to himself, being like, did it again, Ethan. Another blockbuster.
That's the only thing that comes across as being
Mumsy
kind of...
would be so proud.
That's the only things that come across as being kind of like movie 101, screenplay 101,
sure,
is some
sure.
of the one-liners. Uh-huh. But they're not egregious. And
no. It's not like fucking, what was that fucking movie? Oh, Tombstone.
Oh my God, I'm a woman, I like men. No, nowhere near that bad. But that's really the only negative I could say. I would give this an 8.5. Excellent movie, definitely worth multiple viewings. Yeah, boy.
Also, before you go, Gabe, I just wanted to mention, I wonder how Tommy Lee Jones was on set for this, because he's notorious for being a fucking asshole.
Really?
I didn't even know that.
Yes. Apparently, he just stole smaller characters. He steals smaller characters' ad-libs and like, goes to the director and goes like, I want to say that. Like, it's like documented, multiple people have said that about him.
If he's doing it to deliberately be a troll, that's fucking amazing.
No, I think he's doing it because he's like, oh, I'm going to sound really I have a great way to, say that.
I had great idea. This was my idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't picture him being a dickhead.
I could see it.
I can see it,
too. He seems eccentric.
Yeah, and furthermore, like, also he's like, I'm older than everyone here. I'm a fucking,
I was acting when your shit still looked like mustard.
Yeah, I was acting when you're still swimming around like
your daddy's
balls.
That's it.
Gabe, comment?
About the mustard shit or your daddy's balls?
Any of the above.
Swimming around in your daddy's balls.
We gotta review that sometime, actually.
What, Reservoir Dogs?
No, Swimming Around Your Daddy's Balls is from Repo Man.
Oh my God,
I was killing men when you were still swimming around your daddy's balls.
I fucking love that movie.
That's an amazing movie.
I love it.
Hey.
It's like
I wouldn't mind watching it again.
Perfect example of a bad good movie. Or a good bad movie. Or, I don't know what it is. It's both.
A bad great movie.
It's a bad amazing, or an amazing bad movie.
Yes.
And not to mention... Emilio!
How often do I... Oh, no. Let's save this for when we actually review it. No. Gabe, comment?
We'll have to talk about it.
That was so much fun when we watched it on vacation a couple of years ago.
It's a classic.
I mean, I can't really say too much more that hasn't already been said.
Sure.
Great cinematography. The beginning of the movie, especially all the like the landscape shots, it almost has like a Western kind of feel
to it. The whole movie does.
The movie's pretty Western, yeah.
Like spaghetti... ish
it's
Western.
Also takes place in Texas. I mean,
so yeah, everybody's wearing the fucking hats, so they got that going for you. That's the only thing that was that's ever kind of taken me out of it was the monologues from Tommy Lee Jones. But you saying that now, I'm gonna have to like kind of pick apart what he says because some of them it seems kind of like rambling.
He's like, an old man,
so.
Everything he says is it has purpose.
It's deliberate.
Yeah,
because I didn't even think of. I always thought like
he's like a folksy way of talking, so it seems like it's a bunch of rambling bullshit, but it's also very poignant.
The diner thing with Josh Brolin's wife, where obviously I knew that he was like, figured out what thing he was using to blast out those locks, but I never thought about the whole.
He's starting to get in the mindset of these fucking psychos.
Well, I'm saying I never thought about the whole new
old versus new.
Yeah.
Which is like...
That's the major theme of the whole movie.
Literally like the title of the movie. So
yeah,
But I never even really thought of it like that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just like, this dude's a fucking psychopath.
Repurposing old technology for deviant means.
So, it's...
Degenerate means.
That too.
Upon further watching, it's even deeper than I ever imagined. This is a great one. It's probably my favorite Coen Brothers movie, and I'm going to have to give it that kind of review, rating. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Well said. Well said.
And I like the guns and shit, too. It's cool.
Yep.
I
cool.
did
Didn't
like
take
that
you
they,
out of it.
They did do a little bit more action than they... I guess there was a decent amount of action in True Grit, which immediately proceeded this. The next movie.
That was after.
That's what I'm saying. It's pre-seed, not pre-seed.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So yeah, I guess they. But I do like that they like most of their movies have violence in them, but this one's a little bit more of an out and out action movie, and it's still executed.
I think
well.
This one's pretty much perfectly paced because
yeah.
there's
yeah, I was gonna say that too. Actually,
there's
yeah.
enough. There's enough like dialogue and like meat stuff for you to pick apart, and then there's also the action because it's.
And then it's strung together with intense in like suspense scenes.
And it's based in character, so you actually yeah. give a shit about what's going right. on in the action scenes.
And it's not just like MacGuffin-esque, like oh, well, he'll lose the money.
I
like,
mean, it is a bit of a MacGuffin in a way, but I mean, there's more, a lot more to it than that.
Sure, yeah.
More.
Oh, I do want to... One other thing I just sort of pieced together. I was just thinking about the part where... Josh Brolin has to like negotiate with those teens to get his shirt, and then Anton Chigurh is so intimidating. This little kid just gave him his shirt. So it shows like kind of a contrast between them, like
juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Well, also the kid was being it to be nice because he got in a car accident, but the other dude was.
But
like,
also, he's like, "Give me your shirt. Like, I'll give you $10 for his shirt."
The other dude was just being like, "Well, how much you got?"
But no, I mean, they sensed that he was that fucking Josh Brolin would be like, "All right, I'm fucking give you fucking money,
Mr. Gallivan."
Don't mess with Texas. So, in closing, don't mess with Texas.
Yes.
Follow me on Instagram at Scott Legit Abrams. I've been posting a lot since I've been home.
I saw your hot dogs.
Yeah, pretty good, huh?
Mm. Quarantinos?
No, I said it's Scott's Quarantiria.
Oh. Okay, I didn't realize what words you mashed together. All right.
Yeah, so you get to see what I'm eating while I'm on quote-unquote quarantine. And I will not disappoint you. I actually made a fucking dope breakfast burrito this morning.
Well, nice. You're going to have to follow him on Instagram to find out more about that breakfast
burrito.
Also,
you can see the R-Beat and the R-Tag. So yeah, at Scholars at Abrams on Instagram, hit us up there. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or would like to request a movie, we will honor your request eventually.
Especially during this time where we're not very busy with anything else.
Sure. CinemaApocalypseNow@gmail.com. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/CinemaApocalypseNow. Listen to our band at. Our band at nothingbuthits.bandcamp.com. YouTube, I got streams and some clips from the show are up on... I'll work on that since I have some time off. I'm putting on clips from the show. At youtube.com/cinemaapocalypseNow. Be gay to yourselves and each other.
Most of all.
Die of coronavirus.
Because it's not worth living anymore.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bet your rabbit.